Well, for this week's culture segment, we're actually doing kind of 2 weeks in a row here around the themes of Kingdom Man and Kingdom Woman. If you guys aren't familiar with these books, they are from Focus on the Family, featuring actually Kingdom Man is written by Dr. Tony Evans, and Kingdom Woman with Dr. Evans and then his daughter, Crystal Evans Hurst. And Crystal is here on the phone with me right now. Hey, Crystal.
Hi there, Lisa. How are you today?
I am doing well. Good. Thank you so much. We're excited when we get new people on the Boundless Show and new perspectives. So we're excited about this book, not only because it's from Focus on the Family, but because it has a lot of great things to say. And we will be hearing next week from your dad on the topic of Kingdom Man, but we thought we would kick it off with the ladies. And of course, we always encourage both the guys and the girls in our audience to listen to both interviews because it's a good perspective for you to have. So Crystal Evans Hurst is part of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship down there in Dallas. She leads praise and worship. So, you know, maybe at some point in the interview, if you just want to start singing, I would appreciate that. We'll fit that in. Sometimes I do that, Crystal, but I think yours would be more appreciated probably. So,
hey, sometimes you just have to bust out in song.
That's what I say. That's what I say. So, she loves to share her faith with women and encourage them to seek a deeper relationship with the Lord, and does a lot of speaking as well. So, and as I said before, I'm co-authored Kingdom Woman here with her dad, Dr. Tony Evans. Well, I want to know, Crystal, we talk to, obviously, the women in our audience a lot about their navigation of relationships and kind of where they are. And, of course, young adult women are kind of on this, the brink of making lots of decisions in their lives and wrestling with their purpose. And what would you say, especially in having addressed the themes in this book, the first thing I'm going to ask is just, where do you think that as women we've been most derailed by our culture? Like, why are we kind of in the predicament we're in right now?
Well, you know, I think that there's probably a plethora of answers to that question, but the thing that comes to mind when you ask is, I think in general, women, especially young women, really young people, but we get distracted and we're not focused. I tell my, I have a 21-year-old, and then I have a 17-year-old, too, and one of the things that I tell them a lot is that, you know, pretty much from 18 to 23 and for some people to 25, those are kind of the stupid years. And the thing is, the Bible talks about no one looking down on your youth, because he realizes that there's this sweet period in your life, you know, late teens, early to mid-20s, where you make so many decisions that affect the rest of your life. And that if Satan can distract you, if he can derail you, if he can cause you to not listen to wise counsel during those years, then he can, you know, he can kind of jack you up for a long time after that. And I think that it's very difficult to be a young person, even if you're, you know, in love with Jesus. It's very difficult to be a young person and to really live a wholehearted, sold out, singularly focused walk with Christ. And I think unless someone is very keen and focused and disciplined about doing that, in our culture, there are just so many other things to get derailed by. So for girls, you know, that would be guys, because of course at that age you're interested in dating, and a lot of girls are very interested in marriage, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, if that becomes a focus greater and broader than the focus that you should have on Christ, then it becomes very easy to get derailed. The same thing with, you know, just having fun, that you waste time during that sweet time in your life because it's more important to have fun than it is to focus on what the direction of Christ is for your life. You know, as is just wasting money. A lot of people don't make good decisions with their money. So I just think that's just a period of life where, you know, and stupid makes it sound really negative, and I don't mean it to sound like that. I kind of use that with my girls jokingly, just to remind them that, hey, this is the time that Satan is after you, and he's going to do his best to distract you with whatever you can be most distracted by to keep you from achieving your full potential in Christ.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's so, you know, women battle so many lies as it is, you know, not only from the enemy, but just the way that the culture has painted us and kind of given us, I know I've said here on the show that I was given a script growing up in the California public public schools that I was supposed to be successful and I was supposed to just look out for myself and pursue everything that I wanted to do. And, you know, I kind of believed those teachers and the others that spoke into my life and kind of got off into my career and stuff. And it's kind of like this idea of, as women, we strive to please everyone, I think. How would you say, in light of that, you know, not only for young adult women, but what you've seen in your life, you know, how does, you know, this idea of pleasing everyone, how does fearing the Lord help us to gain a sense of our worth and kind of keep our priorities straight in light of, you know, who, how can we, we're so tempted to serve so many different masters?
Well, I think you have to know what he's asking you to do. And I think the only way to know that is to spend time in the Word. And I think, like you said, you kind of had gotten different messages, and those messages you were trying to live up to everything that you could be based on what other people were saying you could do or what you could be. And it's great to have people encouraging you to reach higher, and certainly in this time and age, as women, we have more opportunities than we ever have before. So there's nothing wrong with reaching high, but there's everything wrong with reaching high if you're reaching in a spot where God did not ask you to reach, or you're sacrificing an area of your life, you know, with your family or spiritually, that you're putting things on the back burner that God would have you to put first. We fear God because we are obedient to Him and that we're honoring of what's important to Him, but we only know that when we study His Word. So by making His Word a priority and knowing exactly what's important to Him, then we can fear Him by aligning our decisions and our choices and our priorities in line with what He's asking us to do.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting because you and your dad, I think, structure the book around not only the cultivation of personal character and what that means to be a kingdom woman in light of scriptural principles. Then you also go into a kind of a visionary practical aspect of, okay, what does it mean for us to be kingdom women in our families, in our culture? And one of your chapters is called A Woman of Hope. And I was very, that gave me hope to see that chapter. Why would you say, Crystal, are women so desperate for hope? I mean, it's like, you know, you think that you get to your 20s and 30s and you're like, okay, seriously, shouldn't I know who I am by now? And shouldn't I have this figure? You know, but we're so just desperate to find some hope that our lives mean something, that we're going to contribute, that we're going to be loved and cared for. Why is that?
Well, I think that we have lots of things that we're chasing. And I think those things come in the form and shape of dreams that we were given maybe by our parents, things that they wanted us to have, or maybe they've been given to us by the media. Maybe they've been given to us in education. And so we're constantly reaching, thinking that the next thing, that dream, that bubble, once we achieve it, that's going to give us what we're asking for. I mean, it's no different than somebody who chases money. And we all know money doesn't equal happiness, but a whole lot of people sure act like it does in the way that they seek after that. So I think you lose hope when you have expectations that don't come to fruition. And that basically means that if you have a high bar and you shoot for it and you don't make it, then you're going to lose hope. And that's the problem. We have bars that we've been given from a lot of different places, and when we don't quite make them or we don't make them in our timing, then we're disappointed. And that's where we get back to, what does God say? What is His hope for me? What does He want me to shoot for? And at a very, very basic level, very, very basic, but very, very important, He wants us to hope in Him. Because if we hope in Him, we will never be disappointed. In Romans it says that hope will not disappoint. And once we hope in Him and know what He wants us to do, you know, if God says to me, if He shows me either through His Word or maybe I hear it in a sermon and I'm convicted, or someone through a series of things, different people speak into my life and it becomes evident to me that I'm supposed to take a certain job, or that this guy that's kind of crossed my path, that I feel a peace about, you know, dating him or spending time with him, or maybe it's a decision that I'm making with my finances. As God leads me in my life, those are bars that where we will be disappointed less, because God is giving us the bar. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that life isn't hard. Sometimes we lose hope just because it's hard. It's hard mothering small children. It's hard, you know, doing grunt work on a job where you kind of have to earn the right to move up. It's hard, you know, to just kind of pay your dues. But you can have hope because when you're following Christ, He gives us what I like to call road signs. I found in my own life, when I take a road trip, and in my family, we did this growing up, and even as a married woman now, we do this where we take these long trips. And sometimes when you get in between major cities, it's a long time before you see those signs that tell you, you know, 60 miles to Dallas, or, you know, 120 miles to Baltimore. But every so often, right when you start to wonder, am I on the right freeway? You'll see this green sign, you know, start coming up, and you're like, oh, there's the next sign that's going to tell me that I'm on the right road. And I think God does that in our lives. We do what he tells us to do until he tells us to do something different. And along the way, he gives us confirmations that even though it's feeling a little hopeless because maybe it's a little hard, we're on the right track. We just have to set our GPSs for the destination that he's asking us to aim for, and then he'll give us encouragement along the way.
Yeah, I think that's good. And to actually remember that we actually have to keep moving as well. I mean, it doesn't help us get to Baltimore if we pull over to the shoulder and just sit there because we don't see signs. That's good. Well, it's interesting because in Kingdom Woman, you know, you talk about, you know, I just alluded to this, kind of the multifaceted aspect of a woman who is pursuing after God. And one of those elements is, of course, that, you know, you address women as nurturers and how most of us are called to marriage and to family and how we live that out. But I hear from so many single women who say, well, Lisa, I feel like I'm only, you know, living half of myself because I have all these desires to nurture and to care and to be plugged into a family unit, but I don't have that. And so how can I truly live out, you know, that aspect of my femininity or what I feel I'm called to, you know, if I don't have a husband or kids to care for? What would you say is the hope, you know, for single women, Crystal, in this, in pursuing after God, trusting him for the future, but moving along with what they have right now?
Well, I definitely think that for most women, they would, like you said, feel a desire to be nurturing in a relationship, you know, in marriage or with children. There are some women who wouldn't say that, but most women would. And I think if you're not married or if you don't have children, that desire, that need, that calling still exists. The key as a single woman is to figure out how you can activate that desire and use that calling in your life in a place that's outside of marriage and children, meaning there's always a place to be to serve. There are always children that need to be mothered. There are always families to be a part of as a single person. I'll never forget when I was in my late 20s, there was a family friend, a young couple that had been married, and by the time I was 28, they had been married 10 years. They got married when they were 18. They had a family, and there was a bunch of us single people who just got attached to them. We came over for dinner on Sundays. We babysat. They babysat for me because I was a single parent at the time. So I was able to experience family and caring for family and being a part of a unit, serving, being selfless, practicing being selfless, because as single women, I think that is huge. If you don't practice it single, you'll have a rude awakening when you get married. So I think you look for opportunities to exercise those same muscles even when you're in a season of singleness. And what it looks like will be different for different people based on the access that they have. But the concept of Titus 2 in the Bible, where older women are to teach younger women and younger women are to learn from older women, that model has nothing to do with whether you're married or not. That has to do with being in the position of pouring out to people and then being poured out to. And that could be activated even when you're living life as a single woman or single man.
Yeah. Well, I know in the book you definitely touch on this. You actually call it spiritual motherhood, and you explain why it's so important. We're really passionate about that at Boundless here too. And can you speak a little bit to that, of how that works, you know, not only how it's worked in your own life, but how you guys are doing it at Oak Cliff and just what you feel the church's role is in that?
Sure, sure. Well, I'll start with a little story. There's a lady in my church. Her first name is Robin, and Robin kind of just would be around. She just kind of saw me at church and would just drop little lines to encourage me with young children, and she just was just there. So when there was one thing one day I didn't know how to do, it had something to do with my house, cleaning my house or something like that.
I don't know how to clean my house either, Crystal, so that's okay. I still haven't figured it out.
And I asked her, you know, how do you do this? I think, you know, I'm a homeschool mom, and I think at the time I was enamored, because I wasn't then, and I was enamored with the fact that she had four kids in a home that was immaculate. You would never have known that they were there all day. And I said, how in the world do you do that? And she said, well, you just have to come over. I don't know if I could tell you. And that's exactly what I did. I went over to her house. She let me look in her drawers. She let me watch her in action. And I learned from her. So without me being her physical or biological daughter, I got the benefit of that mothering for that need in my life. Now, you know, it's way beyond cleaning or way beyond family. It can be anything. I have single women in my life who I personally know are being mothered by other single women who are further along in their journey as single women. So they're able to say, hey, this is how I handle this emotion. This is what I do on Valentine's Day when I'm struggling that I don't have a boyfriend or a date. This is how I maximize my time because I have this amount of time to be available for things of the Lord. And that mothering can take place, you know, kind of based in any season that you find yourself in the need of. It's just making that hookup. And that's where the church comes in. The church comes in by providing a way for women, and I don't mean older necessarily in years, but older in seasons, to be connected with women who are younger in seasons. At our church, for the last 2 or 3 years, we've had this function on a Saturday. It's a Titus 2 Super Saturday, and we have our, you know, regular monthly women's meeting. And then after that, we break up into groups or tables, and we put different topics around the table. And so there may be a table for divorced women, or maybe there's a table for mothers of small children, or even a table for people who like to travel, just so that people at our church, it's a fairly large church, can gather around a table of people that either share a season, share an interest, or share a struggle, and can support and encourage one another. And it always happens that someone who's a little further along in the journey can encourage someone else who's behind them.
Yeah, so true. And I think, too, that it's an encouragement to the women in our audience, and I've told them this before, that, you know, sometimes you do have to step up and ask. You have to say to the Robins, you have to say, literally, can I come over to your house? Because because a lot of times they're sitting there saying, well, I don't have anything to offer. And so then we have both sides of the aisle silent, and no one's getting to know anyone or benefiting from that relationship. So
as a busy mom, I mean, I have 5 kids from 21 to 4. And if I have a single woman or even a young mom who says, you know, hey, can you mentor me, and I learned this from another mom who I said, can you mentor me? This was her answer to me, and this is what I say to those women. I can, but you have to come into my space. Yeah. Like, I don't have time to, like, sit and have coffee, you know, once a week kind of thing. I mean, I wouldn't be fair to my family if I did that with 5 or 7 different people in my life. But what I can do is you can come into my world. You can sit at my kitchen table in my chaos and just be here. Yeah. You know, or if I'm serving at church and I'm serving in a ministry and you want to be close to me or kind of learn from me, then serve with me. Mm-hmm. Get busy where I'm busy, and then you can see kind of how I'm handling those different seasons or areas of my life. And so that's one way to do it. But I always appreciate it when someone just asks me. They just ask me because I'm willing, but we just kind of have to work it out.
Yeah. No, what you need to do is you need to say, no, you come over and clean my house
there
along
you go.
With me. And
then we'll talk.
We'll get some mentoring done. Then you will have a house like Robin's. That's probably how Robin did it. That's what she sent her kids to go play at someone else's house and had someone come and talk to her. That's funny. That's good. All right. Well, as we kind of our last theme here that I want to touch on, because we just talked about inviting people into your life and the importance of that. You and your dad talk in the book about the value of pruning in our personal life. And sometimes there is excess baggage, whether that is bad relationships or just things that are cluttering up our lives, things that are distracting us from what God's calling us to do, or the road he has us on. What are some good signs that some of that needs to happen, and how do we get started on that road?
Well, my sign is that I'm overwhelmed, because normally what I need to prune is stuff from my schedule. Mm. That's when you're talking, that's the first thing that came to mind. When I start feeling stressed out, when I'm short with the people that I love, when I don't have time to do important things like, you know, take time to take care of my body, if I'm eating out too much or don't have any time to exercise, or I'm passing out at night and struggling to get up in the morning, that's normally a sign to me there's too much going on, and I really just cut things off. I'll cut off social media and just kind of go on a fast for a weekend or a week or two. I will stop answering my phone and let things go to voicemail. And I think you just kind of have to know for you where you tend to have excess, where you tend to struggle to kind of stay on track. If you find that it's been a while since you've had your quiet time, then that may mean what is getting in the way of me staying up a little later at night to spend time with the Lord, or getting up a little earlier and pruning that. So I think there's an awareness that we can have to do it ourselves. Now, when we don't do it, or sometimes just when we need growth in an area maybe we don't see, then I think God does it. And sometimes it doesn't feel good when he prunes things, when people are pride out of our life, or when we lose that job that we never thought we could live without, or just in different situations where God allows us to lose things or have things cut off so that we can grow. So I think there's a role that we play, and then certainly God being sovereign, there's a role that he plays. And either way, pruning always leads to growth, and that's the thing that we can take hope in.
Well, that's good. Well, again, we want you to, all of y'all out there, be aware of the book. Again, we've been talking with Crystal Evans-Hurst about Kingdom Woman, Embracing Your Purpose, Power, and Possibilities. A great book and a great companion book to Kingdom Man, which we're going to talk about next week. And it's great if you guys get both of these and read both of them and even get some discussions going among your group of friends. So, Crystal, again, we see you, not that you're old, of course, but, you know, being a couple steps ahead of us in some of these seasons, like you said, and we always love learning from those who have really walked that and done it well and are still growing. So thank you so much for your time. And of course, we will have links to the book on our site, and hopefully we'll hear from you again in the future.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I pray that something was said today is useful to your listeners.
Absolutely.